You are listening to the Postcast, presented by the Locked On Senators podcast, following a dominant win for the Sens. 5-1 the score in the pond in Anaheim. And get this, Pilsy, the Sens are not last place in the NHL. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Brandon Piller. Pilsy, I see that smile. Was that pretty persistent throughout this whole game?
Oh, yeah, it feels good, Ross. And I feel like this is a good time to use this graphic here. That's the Ottawa Senators right now. We are not in last place. Congrats to us. Sure, we're in 31st out of 32, but it feels good to get a 5-1 win in the Sens' favor, because those 5-1 wins and the 4-1 win up against the Sens been getting old. And it was great to see not only Ross unanswered two goals in a row, but you get five unanswered goals here for the Ottawa Senators. This game was an absolute blast to watch. And for everyone out there being like, they should be tanking, this is the one game they should lose, get out of here. Let's just enjoy a Sens win, because I don't know about you guys, I needed that for a little morale boost, and I'm sure the players needed a boost here as well.
They certainly did, and one player will be getting the goggles after tonight's game. Pilsy, who should I put on the poll? Now, we know Cam Talbot has them last, unless he's lost them, because, wow, those are some well-traveled goggles since the last time the Ottawa Senators have won a game. But let's hear your options at who is most deserving right now. So I have written down Derek Brassard and Mathieu Joseph right off the bat.
Cam Talbot.
Well, Cam Talbot has them, unless he's going to the old pat on the back. I don't know.
I always do that. I always suggest the person that has it. That's I got to stop doing that. You know what, Brady? You got to give it to Brady. He scores a goal, a power play goal, nonetheless, 8 shots, and he gets in a fight standing up for his teammate. You got to love that.
Yep. Should I do other, or is there obvious ones?
I don't think there's another obvious one. Maybe Zub, just for the Zub crowd. He scored a goal.
Other, right in. Perfect. So here we go. Let's get the we'll get the results of that in a little while. But as we do in the postcast, we'll take you through how this game went down. It was 0-0, and the shots were not in the Senators' favor, nor was discipline in the first period either. Ottawa takes the first 2 penalties in this game. Then they score on their first power play. That's when Brady Tkachuk opened the scoring, assist from Batherson and Chabot. Nice little bumper play there, hey?
Yeah, that was a quick bang-bang play, and that's what you want to see. Like, the Senators were having success with that bumper play, and I think they need to stick with it. It's one thing that's working, and yeah, Chabot goes to Drake, and then Drake, no questions asked. And
oh, this right.
Oops. This is what it was. Are you talking about Waddy having the goggles?
Yeah,
I thought that was the case.
It's been so long since we had a win. Hand up.
Here's the thing is,
hand up.
What I was talking about the Sens losing before is it seemed when they got the puck, they didn't already know what to do with it. Where Drake Batherson, he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't try anything different. He knows what to do with it. He gets it right to Brady, and Brady doesn't make any mistakes there.
Who should get the goggles from Austin Watson? All right, new poll alert. But yeah,
that Talbot in there.
Whenever I see those types of goals, Pilsy, I'm always reminded of that Clark MacArthur first goal back in the playoffs, in 2017. Like that down low bump up, boom. I think it was Derek Brassard.
I was gonna say Brassard was the guy and part of that play. Yep.
That's awesome. And he was the guy who did it tonight too. His first of 3 assists on the evening. Not bad, hey, Pills? Like, I still don't love him in a top 6 role, but man, if he can get that third line clicking like he did tonight, I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That was the frustrating thing of having Derek Brassard play up on that second line is it's not where he's supposed to be. It was kind of like last year where Nick Paul and Chris Tierney were getting looks on that second line. Like, it just was never meant to be that way. And I think if Pinto can get going, he gets an assist tonight, Ross. That's what I was talking about. Pinner only having 1 assist was kind of wild to me. He gets an apple tonight. So I think things are looking up for the Ottawa Senators here.
We do have to remember that the Anaheim Ducks are a bad hockey team.
Literally the worst, yes.
Bad hockey team. And I even tweeted out, I was like, the good news is, as Ottawa goes to the power play, that it can't be more dysfunctional than the Ducks. Those first 2 power plays, yeah, they got like 3 shots, but not dangerous at all. not moving it around very well. I thought that the Senators did well on their power play to answer it. So it's 1-0 Ottawa at that point, and look at this, back-to-back goals. I think I said 3 assists for Brassard. I meant to say, it was Batherson on that tip play, though, Pills. Damn it. There goes that nostalgic moment. But Derek Brassard finishes off a play that I think everybody in the building, including Anthony Stolarz, thought Mathieu Joseph was going to shoot that puck after the middle lane feed from Sanderson.
Well, and that's the thing, to take it back to the Sens of last week or even a couple days ago. If that's the old Sens, Ross, Joseph fires that into a guy's shin pads. That's the kind of crap they were pulling a couple days ago, and on this stretch of terrible games, is you're not setting up any sort of play. There's no fluid motion. There's no awareness of where the play needs to go. Whereas here, Joseph, again, he knows what he's going to do with that puck as soon as he gets it. I don't think for a second he planned on shooting it. He knows Brass is over there. He's going to sell shot, and then he's going to slide it over, and that's an easy tap. And even for a guy like Derek Brassard, who hasn't exactly been extremely lucky with the puck luck lately. So that's a beauty goal, and that sends the Sens up 2-0. And at that point, Ross, I'm feeling pretty damn good.
Momentum goal, Pilsy. You like that at the end of a period, even though the Sens were nearly doubled up in shots, 13-7 in favor of Anaheim after the first period. But certainly Ottawa was able to bounce back, because in the second, they took it to the Anaheim Ducks. The shots were 18-8 in favor of Ottawa. They were playing downhill. They were playing fast. And speaking of fast, it took all of, 5 seconds for Timmy on the power play to just grip it and rip it from the slot. At that point, we knew the beatdown was on.
Can someone tell me why that faceoff was brought out of the O-zone?
Because one of the defensemen went below the hash marks to join in with the little kerfuffle.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's stupid. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Let it be outnumbered by the other team having 5 guys? Like, it's dumb.
Yeah, that is a terrible, terrible rule. But it doesn't matter, because the Ottawa Senators end up with a great faceoff win. They break it into the zone with ease. And as you mentioned, Timmy, and this is the thing, like Timmy, it drives me crazy when he tries to overcomplicate things. Sometimes you just got to be like, hey, there's traffic in front. I've got a good enough shot. I can squeeze this through. I can have a seeing eye shot and it can get through. Stolarz has no clue where that puck is. Why not give it a try? And that's a nice shot by Timmy, and 3-0 Sens. Let's go.
How about the Sens getting another backup?
Yeah, I know, eh? Stolarz. That's, as soon as I saw Chabot in and Stolarz out, or Stolarz in also, that's when I was like, okay, everything in my body is telling me don't bet the Sens again. We can't do this again, Pilsy. But that just felt right. I've been feeling positive all day. They get the 5-1 win here. I'll let you continue on with the scoring summary, though.
Yes, well, certainly discipline's been an issue for the Ottawa Senators, but it wasn't any better for Anaheim. They took 5 straight penalties in the second period. A trip, a cross-check, a high stick, too many men, and then Ryan Strome with that cross-check on Jake Sanderson, where Brady Tkachuk stood up and said, no, we're not doing that. But before Brady got in his fight, which we'll touch on in a second, Artem Zub gets his 2nd goal of the season. His first one, of course, was in front of our very own eyes in the home opener. But this one, a seeing eye laser, top corner. Great play.
Yeah, and I love the confidence from Zub here. Like, he's playing pretty tight towards the net here. He gets that at about the faceoff circle, right at the top of the circle. And that's a confident guy. He just grips it and rips it, and it goes in for him. And we've seen Zub with some pretty good offensive moments in small sample sizes. When he has the puck and he's feeling it, I've got confidence in him. So it's so nice to see Zub is back here, because he really was the guy supporting that right side of the defense here. And it's been a big difference having him back. And then when Chabot gets back in the mix too, and then you get Holden and Zaitsev out, you start to feel a little bit more optimistic about that decor.
Yes, certainly. Again, we must remind everyone, they are playing the Anaheim Ducks, who stink with a capital S. However, to start the third period, another power play, another goal. And this one, you don't often say it when it's 5-0, but this was a highlight reel beauty. Take us through how Mathieu Joseph ended up on his ass and the puck went in the net.
Yeah, I love the chemistry Joseph and Brass had this period. Like, Joseph, he gives it to Brass, and then what does he do? He heads right to the net. No messing around. I'm going to get myself in a position to score here. Brass, he's a veteran guy. Sure, he's maybe slowed down a step, but he's still got that hockey IQ. He knows Joseph is going to go there. He goes behind the net, opens it up, finds Joseph, and bang, right in the net. Like, and that's the kind of offensive talent we know Matthew Joseph has. It's just he's been struggling lately, and I hate when this works, Ross, but the healthy scratch was a good move by DJ Smith. I hate when players need to be humbled like that, but sometimes you got to do it. You got to send a message. And ever since that, he's played much better.
Yeah, he certainly has. And now he's starting to contribute offensively and he's skating well. The whole team just looked faster today. But again, let's see if they can double it down on Sunday against a much better opponent in the LA Kings. Sucks they're going to be without Brendan Lemieux. So maybe Brady knew that and he's like, you know what? I can get my fight out of the way in Orange County. I don't have to go in back-to-back games. But in all seriousness, this was him just standing up for Jake Sanderson after he took a questionable hit. And you know, the smirk on my face when I saw Ryan Strome's look when he knew he had to go with Brady, that was awesome. It's like,
because at that point, he's not even just like, I'll stand up for myself. He's just like, I got to take an ass kicking right now. Like, he's not confident. He's not like, okay, Brady, let's go. He's just like, yeah, I cross-checked him in the numbers. That's your star prospect defenseman. Go on, feed me a couple. And Brady feeds him a couple. And you know it's a good fight for Brady when the takedown is off a good punch. Like, he lands that punch and Strom's like, I'm done.
Marino-esque. John Marino-esque.
Big time. Yeah, it was very similar right there. Yeah.
Definitely. That was with 8 seconds left in the second period. We already talked about that goal by Matthew Joseph in the third. After a quick word from one of our favorite sponsors, we are going to tell you why Cam Talbot should have had a shutout. Then we'll get to the poll results. Who should get the goggles from Austin Watson after tonight's 5-1 win over the Anaheim Ducks? And we've got our Sen Central standouts as well. Plus, stay tuned to the postcast after dark because our good friend JD Hernandez from the Locked On Mighty Ducks podcast is joining us. You know we've made it when girls for XXX want to get at us in the YouTube comments. Quick block there. Pilsy, you've got a word from one of our favorite sponsors.
Yes, we're finally friends again with betonline.ag, Ross, because like I mentioned, when Shabbat in, Stolarz starting, I ran to betonline.ag, and it felt very strange betting on your Ottawa Senators with a minus money line, but I just felt that positive and that good. And when you got that feeling, you got to go to betonline.net. They got all the latest odds, news, scores, player performance, props, totals, over, unders, whatever you like. You can find it at betonline.net. And the World Cup's going on. You got a big day of football coming up this weekend. So get your bets in at the number one trusted online sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's BetOnline. Guys, it's betonline.net, where the game starts.
You are listening to the postcast. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Brandon Piller. And I'm going to switch out our background so we can pull up some comments from the great people in the chat. Almost 200 of you here on a Friday evening at 6:15 Eastern time. My whole body clock is all messed up, but it's not going to make my 3:30 a.m. alarm any easier tomorrow morning. But the confidence that this team gave me, oh no, I'm kidding. Let's see what Sunday brings. This we had somebody ask in the chat as well, Dennis Boucher, saying, miss the game. Was this a case of a legit win or are the Ducks really that bad? Let's say a bit of both.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit of both. Yeah, because the Senators, you can only play up against who you're playing up against. So the Ducks suck. So they're going to beat up on them, you hope. And that's what they do. But they showed a lot of positive signs. The power play was clicking. They go 3-for-8. And then,
yes, but the Ducks, I'm pretty sure that was like, that keeps the Ducks on their average for PK of the year, allowing 3 out of 8.
Yeah, it's right around there. But still, I don't, You got to still show up and you got to still perform. And that's what the Sens do. Yes, Ross, I know the Ducks are the worst power play in the league, but
and without Drysdale,
you give them 6 chances and they don't get a single goal on the power play. So I'm not having any of the butt arguments here. Let's just bask in this glory because it was a great performance by the Ottawa Senators. They dominate them in the faceoff stats. They dominate them in advanced analytics. They get more shots than them. So overall, this is what you want to see the Ottawa Senators do.
Also, no John Klingberg, late scratch in this game. Simon Benoit, he just made the list, man. He's going to have a speaking to when Ducks come to Ottawa in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but if I was Simon Benoit, I would be pretty upset about what Timmy did to him to start that game, too. Timmy absolutely gashes him right in the face with the butt end of his stick. That would hurt a lot. I'd be pretty bit pissed off about it, too.
Yeah, fair enough. But at the end of the game, just a little jawing. At least do something. Like, hey, if you've been going at him all game, you mad? Then let's go. Drop him. Have some fun. But we did get that one fight. However, my big fight in this game is how is that not goalie interference on Cam Talbot with under 3 minutes left in a shutout? Hand up for me. I had written the postcast title in Restream because we want to put this up, the link right away. And I
can't
put
do that.
Complete Ross. Effort leads Ottawa Senators to dominant shutout victory over the Anaheim Ducks. So hand up. That one's
you
on
got
me.
Two hands up already here, Ross. Yeah, everybody knows the shutout jinx. Under no circumstances whatsoever can you speak the word shutout, think it. You can't do any of that till it's absolutely certain. And yeah. I don't think I will ever understand goaltender interference because it makes no sense. Cam Talbot is lying on the ground. There's scramble everywhere. It's total chaos. That's fine. It happens. It's hockey. That's okay. But is it Jones, the guy that's right there?
Yeah, Max Jones.
Max Jones is right there, and he has his skate wedged in between Talbot's pad and body.
He's so trying to put on his pad.
There's no way Talbot can move any part of his leg either way. Like, either way, it's getting stuck somewhere. And the only way Talbot's able to make this save is if he can get up and move. And the guy that scores the goal is Jones, the guy that's got his foot shoved in his midsection. So for that to be called a goal, I feel like that's just the refs chucking the Ducks a bone there. But I love the call by DJ Smith to challenge that. Even though I'm sure it wasn't just like a, hey, let's try to get Talbot the shutout call here. I'm sure it was a confirmation from the video guy saying, yeah, you should challenge that. But either way, I was happy to see the challenge and garbage call to allow that as a goal, in my opinion.
Garbage, but whatever. Garbage. Give it for the home crowd. Cam Talbot still makes 31 saves on 32 shots. Pilsy, am I teeing you up for your first Sen Central standout?
Cam Talbot deserves one, but let's go around the horn because I want to hit on a different guy first if you're teeing it up for me.
Well, let's then lead into the fact that Cam Talbot is currently leading the poll who should get the goggles from Austin Watson. Cool. A little give and go it would be as Cam Talbot gave them to Austin Watson after the last win, that win over Buffalo. Cam Talbot with 50% so far with 125 votes. Mathieu Joseph, 23%. Brady Tkachuk and Derek Brassard both tied with 13% as well. Both 13.5 because we're going to get some math guy coming in and telling me that's 99%. So add the 0.5 and keep the change.
There you go. For my first Sen Central standout, been hard on this guy all season. When they play good, you got to give it up to them. So I'm giving it to Derek Brassard. I thought he had a really great game. Sure, you want an NHL veteran to be able to score when you got an open cage like that. But he also chips in for two assists. And like you mentioned, having him find chemistry with Mathieu Joseph on the third line, that could have a massive ripple effect for how this team's going to play in the future. Because the bottom six wasn't producing at all the last couple games. So if you can get more offensively minded guys like Brassard and then Mathieu Joseph, you can get them to click and have chemistry. This is just the beginning of that. I think it's going to have a huge effect. So, Sen Central standout, Derek Brassard.
I like that. You talked about his faceoff percentage, I'd imagine, too?
No, I didn't, actually. What? Surprisingly so. He gets 63% in the dot, and I do have the stats here. That's a rare miss.
10
by
for
me.
16. 10 yeah. for 16 in the dot.
He has the most faceoffs of any Ottawa Senators in the night. So, obviously, DJ Smith is trusting his veteran guy like that, and that's just another big part of being in the bottom six. You got to be able to get puck possession because that's a massive part of the game here. So absolutely great game for Derek Brassard.
All right, we're absolutely going to go around the horn twice here, and then we're going to bring in JD Hernandez from Locked On Anaheim Ducks, an absolute beauty. We're going to talk to him about his episode after the Ducks beat the Leafs, too. This guy was hilarious. If you've missed it, go check that out. But I'm going to go with the easy one here, Cam Talbot. I feel like it's been a while since I've given a Sens Central standout to a goalie, and he deserves it. 8 of his 31 saves came while the Senators were shorthanded. And get this, 5 of them came while they were shorthanded. So he was able to stand up tall. That number kind of surprises me. But hey, great night for him. Should have been a shutout. But all in all, really calm performance. And I think some people, I think it was Kevin and a few others in the chat, saying that Anton Forsberg has a groin issue. And Mando was called up, looking great with the Muzzy. Friend of the show, Kevin Mandelazy. But I saw you were missing Magnus Hellberg before the game. But let's just hope it's not anything too serious. I'm trying to remember the timeline. Was Magnus Hellberg was on waivers before the Vegas game, right? I'm just trying to think, did Forsberg
get
hurt in
practice? Who can keep track of Magnus Hellberg's waiver?
You, if anybody.
Man, he's been, how many teams has he been on this year? I when I looked up his stats, I was like, Detroit, he's on Detroit now? I thought he just got claimed by Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. Back on waivers, which means if you're doing a quick math, you know, Detroit twice, Seattle twice, Ottawa's next. Twice.
I would hope so, because the Sens need him.
Yeah, so Anton Forsberg, hopefully just day-to-day, but that groin, those can linger. So you want to make sure he's 100%. And Ottawa does, coming up next weekend, a back-to-back Friday in New York and then Saturday against San Jose. Who's your second one?
I'm going to keep it on that third line. Matthew Joseph, like I talked about, he had a great game on that third line after getting scratched earlier on in the season a couple days ago. He gets 3 points as well, a goal and 2 assists, and he had 16 and a half minutes. I just really liked his game. Like, he was creative. He was playing with a bit of pace. Even him and Tyler Motte had a nice chance to start the game off as one of their first shots of the game. So for me, it's kind of a handcuffed Sens Central standout, Ross. Derek Brassard and Matthew Joseph.
All right, that's cool. I'm going to go with the captain, though. 8 shots on goal. He set the tone with the game-opening goal. I thought he wanted it all night. How about him winning his face-offs as well? 78% in the circle for him. 7-2, so 7-9 in the face-off dot for Brady Tkachuk. And 8 of 11 shot attempts hit the goal. So he's not missing the net on that. He gets the fight. He stands up for his teammate, which I absolutely love. All in all, it was just a captainship performance when the team really needed it. Who else but their leader to come in and set the tone? So I got Brady Tkachuk and Cam Talbot. You have Derek Brassard and Matthew Joseph. You're leaving your boy, Tyler Motte, out. He's the only guy you didn't give a standout to on the third line.
I mean, he had a decent game, but not Sens Central standout worthy, Ross. That is a high honor.
All right, let's hit Jack's question here, because this was going around social media a bunch during the game, and then we're going to go to the postcast after dark, where JD Hernandez is standing by to join us as well. But what do you think of the DeBrincat trade discourse that we're getting on Twitter? Our friend Brent Wallace in the Coming in Hot podcast threw out the DeBrincat trade value goes up after he made a nice play. I was like, What the hell are we doing here? This guy's RFA next season. At the very least, you're playing out this whole year in Ottawa. I don't care how far things go off the rails. There's no chance you trade this guy during the season.
That's a panic move. If that's the idea you have, that's a panic move to try to recuperate and be like, that's like 2 steps forward, 3 steps back type of thinking. And it's not a sustainable way to go about things, especially like, I know everyone, ourselves included, and everyone around the league was like, wow, the Sens only traded that to get to DeBrincat, but it was a 7th overall pick. Like, that's not nothing. And then you add a couple extra picks on top of that. So when you're a team like the Sens that focuses on drafting and developing, you can't afford to lose those and then just try to get rid of Alex DeBrincat here. And sure, he's not scoring, but he's still putting up points. This is the guy's first time being traded. He's on a different team. He's in a different country. He just had a kid. Like, I feel like it might take some time for him to click. So I'm not worried about Alex DeBrincat in the sense that it's like, okay, we got to trade him if he gets a couple points here. So I am completely out on the trade Alex DeBrincat discussion.
Yeah, you certainly, you won't, you'll have to listen to a Different Sense podcast if you're going to want to hear Alex DeBrincat trade chatter, because I have zero interest in even entertaining it. You got what you paid for. This guy's on pace for his career average, more or less. He's on pace for about 70, 75 points. Sure, the goals are a little less, but to me, he's showing vision. He's showing patience. I didn't love the disengagement at the end of that Vegas game, but certainly you could say that for a lot more than just Alex DeBrincat. And you know what? We gave him a little whack on the wrist, and now he's back. He looked good today, the cat with a little purr as he contributed, what, a couple assists today or just a one? What do you have on the board?
Yeah.
One assist.
He was okay. I mean, he got beat up tonight. Like that.
Yeah, but he battled
hit.
Through.
He battled through. That hit by Kulikov, that's a slice of humble pie, being like you can't just dance around in the offensive zone like you think you can. And then
clean hit.
Yeah, clean hit. Love it. Getting that cross check right in the ribs. I mean, they on the live shot, they had the zoomed in camera, and you can hear DeBrincat scream. Like that hits him in a very sensitive spot. So he draws a penalty there. So I thought it was a decent game for Alex DeBrincat, but yeah, no thank you on the trade. If he's a UFA, maybe you consider it, but come on, when you have leverage and having a 40 plus goal scorer in the prime of his career under team control, you do not trade that away. 16. Unless you're the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, Kirby Dack. Do you see that, by the way? Kirby Dack with the shootout winner today in Chicago. Gives him a little Hulk Hogan. You hear me? You see me?
I like that from Kirby, because they gave up for a rebuilding team to trade away Alex DeBrincat and Kirby Dack in the same offseason is a boneheaded decision, if you ask me. So I like that from Kirby.
They're rebuilding their rebuild, it seemed like, at that point. But just trying to get some assets, except the asset they got, it was a one-for-one trade. They get the 13th overall pick. They traded the third overall pick from 2 years ago. Seems like a head-scratching move, and you don't want the Sens to wake up scratching their head after making a panic move. But a win is a win is a win, and this is the largest victory, am I right on saying that, for the Sens this year?
They won 6-2 against the Coyotes, so depending on how you want to gauge things here. But
So tied for it, a four-goal win. Yep. They get the 6-2 win. That one didn't have any empty netters either. So, yeah, they tied. And Arizona and Anaheim are the two teams they beat.
I know. That's why I didn't really get too excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely love it. All right, we're excited to bring on our guest, JD Hernandez, Locked On Anaheim Ducks. But stick with us. We'll be right back. You've been listening to the postcast. Next up, you'll get another late-night postcast. The Sens take on the LA Kings on Sunday night. For now, we say goodbye. Stay tuned. The postcast after dark will be back right after a quick word. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.